man of my dreams. He's real, isn't he? I know he's trying to kill you. He wears a dirty brown hat. He's horribly burned. He has razors on his right hand. He's real.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of Throwback Tuesday. I'm your host, the phenomenal one from MoviespoilersPodcast.com.
This is Z from iOpenPodcast.com. EOP.com and thefancritic.com.
I thought you was about to start singing when you paused right there. I was going to say, Dreamwalkers.
Someone made a comment that they expect you to sing throughout the whole show.
Are you serious?
Pull up those comments, motherfucker.
Well, to spoil that comment, then I won't sing the goddamn song for the rest of the show. Why do you forget that right away?
I think we're just picking movies that have great songs that you can just sing to.
That is true, huh? That is a current theme on this show.
It is.
For the past 5 episodes, I've been singing on this damn thing.
Let's see, District 9 had no music.
Yeah, thank God, wait till we, if we ever do Man of Steel, and I just start humming that drum sound or whatever. Hey, man, I was an aspiring singer and then failed. And
I think this and Crow. I think that's your 2 songs.
Every night I burn dreams of... Okay, we're not doing that now. But so the poll in here.
Oh my God! Don't even talk about that.
So as everybody can tell, of course, Dream Warriors is the winner after 35 votes. 3 went to Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, and 32 went to.
And let's count the 4 votes on Facebook and for Dream Warriors and the 1 vote for the remake. And that was me. So 3 votes. So out of the 4 votes, that one of them was mine. 3 people liked it.
Man, you can't deny Dream Warriors. Come on, man. Did you actually think the remake was going to be Dream Warriors is one of the fan favorites of the Nightmare on Elm Street. Come on.
I thought I was going to have more than 4 votes. I have to step up my game on these picking of movies.
So there's going to be nothing. You know what your problem is you always pick first, and then I just go like, okay, well, if you're going to pick that one, I'm picking better.
Well, since you picked... I have a movie in mind for next week, but since you beat me 2 weeks in a row, you can pick the next movie.
Oh, definitely. I definitely will. Whatever. But yeah, see, and not only did you get votes, though, I remember when I posted a post of it about it, people were saying, don't do that god-awful one. Do Dream Warriors or whatever. And I was like, yep, that's where it looks like it's winning towards.
So it's got like 40 votes compared to the messages you got, too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Speaking of Jesus Christ had a big deal in this movie.
He did.
At least towards the end or whatever. But so yeah, we're reviewing Nightmare on Elm Street 3: Dream Warriors. That's my favorite Freddy Krueger film ever, because I've always said that it's your dreams. You can do whatever the hell you want. I'll tell you what, Freddy wouldn't want to come to my dreams.
Inception, this is not.
Yeah, Freddy'd be like, let me get the fuck out of here. I'd be like, Freddy, don't leave, man. This orgy's about to happen. Come on.
What the fuck? you and Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a spoiled ambassador of mine, Flatner Zero, she can join that too. You know, she'll be watching with the camera and everything, you know.
Okay.
All my man crushes. It'd be one big giant man orgy.
He walks in. What the
fuck? Yeah, he walks in. This shit's too much for me. grab him by his throat with my dick and shit. Be like, nah, nah, brother. You walked up in here.
What is a scary movie?
Yeah, of course, you know. Hey, man, don't watch something you can't finish.
Exactly. Well, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, directed by
Dream
Chuck...
Dream Warriors! Oh, my bad.
Directed by Chuck Russell, wrote by Wes Craven, which I didn't know he wrote this.
I didn't know he wrote this either until I looked it up when I was doing my research last night, according to me earlier.
Yeah. But I thought the first one and New Nightmare was it for him.
Yeah, I thought the New Nightmare one was his only one. And
Yeah.
of course, the first one as well. I thought he had worked on the second one as well, but checking out, he didn't. And this one, I was actually shocked. I was like, wow, he wrote on this? Why is this movie such shit nowadays, man?
And the cool thing is Frank Darabont was the creator or writer of Walking Dead. So he was also on the screenplay of this. Made $44 million on a $4.5 million budget back in
Damn, it only cost four. Yeah, I could see that. Damn, never mind.
87.
And because the only biggest name in here was Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry Fishburne. He went by Larry Fishburne.
Oh, Larry Fishburne at the time. Oh, back when he was in shape and everything. Oh, my bad.
Dude, he was a mother. He was fucking. He was in good shape.
Yeah, he was in good shape. Whatever. He looked like a fat ass slob now, but you
Who
know. Hey.
would have guessed Morpheus would be in a Freddy Krueger movie?
This was like his 15th film at the time. He was a rising star at this
Because
time.
didn't he do Boys in the Hood like right after this?
Yeah, and he did before this Color Purple.
That's right. So
So
he's.
he's been around the block for a while now. I'm surprised he ain't dead yet. Never mind, I shouldn't say that, because then he'll die the next day.
No, I like Lawrence Fishburne.
I like Lawrence Fishburne too, or Larry, whatever the fuck you want to call him. So he's like,
Yeah.
I'm with a profound actor. You call me Larry by my white name, you know? Don't call me
And
Lawrence.
Heather
Don't call
Langenkamp comes back after from the first one. And John Saxton, her dad from the first one. And Patricia Arquette was also in this. And who
Heather,
else?
The chick that
Langenkamp?
played, huh?
Langenkamp?
Yeah, that fine ass woman right there.
And
Oh my God, that woman's hot.
Jennifer Rubin, who's I want to say a B actress. She's in this. I think this was her first movie.
I believe it.
Trying to be like the Johnny Depp or Kevin Bacon at the time.
She was trying to be something or whatever. It sure wasn't a dream warrior. Don't want to dream no more.
Songs just pump you up, don't they?
Man, that song is get you amped, to get you ready or whatever. And I was drinking. I mean, I was getting ready for this show last night for that song.
What's a better song, Burn or Dream Warriors?
Burn. That's no question I have, but you know, hey, every now and then you can substitute Burn. If you don't have Burn, you listen to Dream Warriors for. But at the time, Dokken was on I think I want to say Dokken did the whole soundtrack for this.
It says music by Dokken and Angelo Badalani or whatever.
Okay, because I know I remember three songs from Dokken on here, and I know they played one of them in the movie, which was Into the Fire, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, so. So yeah, Dokken was on a roll at this time, even though they looked like Kaji Gugu, but you know.
One hit wonder. Well, I don't think it was a hit, was
Challenge.
it? Was Dream Warriors
Yeah.
like a hit?
Yeah, Dream Warriors was a hit. Love that song, whatever. I actually even met Kincaid.
Oh,
Yeah, he's not too thrilled these days, but you know. He's all religious and shit now. I was like, oh.
He's not too thrilled.
Yeah, he's not too thrilled these days, whatever. He's boring. He's nothing like his character in this movie, whatever. He's all religious type now, whatever. And you know, yeah, I don't want no fucking picture with you. Get the hell out of my way. If you're not gonna say, "Hey, Freddy, you burn face pussy," then what the hell good are you then? Get the hell up on my face, nigga. Nah, man. But here's a pamphlet about the way of God. I looked at that pamphlet and was like, "Okay, where's Freddy at in this pamphlet?"
Was it Jehovah's Witness?
Man, he might as well be, yeah.
Did he go door to door?
Nah, I met him at some, I think it was a Comic-Con event, actually.
Oh, nice that he's making a living for himself. Somewhat. Somewhat.
Yeah, he's making a living trying to sell pamphlets about the Lord up in here. I don't think people come to Comic-Con to hear about the Lord.
No. No, I've never been to Comic-Con, so I don't
Yeah, well, he ain't missing shit, just lines or whatever. But so, Dream Warriors, though, so, you wanna give a plot synopsis?
Yep, 6 years after the events of the first film, Kristen Parker, played by Patricia Arquette, is working on a papier-mâché house of Freddy's house.
Yeah,
And,
and that was the
like,
house that Nancy, played by Heather Langenkamp, used to live in.
Which what it, so I guess they completely forget about the part two, Freddy's Revenge.
I wouldn't blame him. No, I'm just playing.
No, I'm being serious. I'm like, are they just forgetting about it?
You know, judging from this one, it sure did seem like it, whatever. And I remember seeing the second one over probably like a month ago, whatever. Because obviously I have it, but I wasn't that much of a fan of it, I gotta say.
No,
As
it's
far as,
very different.
yeah, especially compared to the first and this one, I was like, yeah, that one's kind of like Tokyo Drift in the Fast It's just there. It wasn't meant to be part of the trilogy. It's just, you know.
Besides the party scene, this movie was very boring.
Which one?
Freddy's two, part two.
Yeah, it's towards the end or whatever. Because the first one, I mean, the second one was just like, oh, this doesn't relate to the first one at all. It's just kind of its own movie. It could be its own movie series, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah,
I
I
like.
didn't like the whole Freddy coming out of the body and everything.
Yeah, I didn't care for that neither. I was like, wow, aliens, huh?
Exactly.
No, so, but when we go back to Dream Wars, I was just like, oh, I can't Freddy. You know, I like Freddy in the second one, of course. Freddy is just, no matter what shitty one he's in, or he's always going to be the star of these movies.
Exactly. So Kristen's building this papier-mâché house, and it looks like she's making it really, really good. It's probably not her doing it,
Yeah,
but
of course, because she has to stay awake, man, because Freddy's coming for her.
yeah,
Five,
and she's
six,
drinking
seven,
Diet
eight.
Coke and
Mixing it up with fucking chocolate lax, you know.
yes, yeah.
That's the way to do it, man. That's how these kids party those days or whatever. Instead of, you know, in 2013, kids are taking shots with their eyeballs or whatever and shit. And back then, they were taking Diet Coke shots.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, you guys knew how to party back then, man.
Well, then her bitch of a mom shows up and pretty much puts her to. She was.
Love the ending scene though, the movie where he's just like, she's like, "Hey, honey, where's the bourbon at?" Whatever. He said, "I said, where's the fucking bourbon?" Chops her head. Oh, Freddy. Oh, I'd like to have a beer with him.
Then die.
Oh, he wouldn't kill me, shit. Because I robbed that nigga. I'd be like, take that dirty ass brown hat off. Get that Christmas sweater off. Come on now.
Well, Kristen falls asleep and she wakes up in front of the house, Freddy's house, and sees this little girl on a tricycle.
I just said, fuck that little girl. I looked at her and been like, well, you have fun making your way back into the house. I'm going to turn this way now.
Well, this is 87, but I love that she picks it up because she hears says, Freddy's coming. She picks up the girl and runs, and you can so tell it's a doll.
Yeah, like, that's why I didn't question when you said it cost only $4. I was like, yeah, the effects in this movie looked horrible. You could tell that, like, you know, oh, such and such. But you know what? Back then, it wasn't so much about the effects. It was more about the story. And which is why I'm a fan of most of these movies, because today it's just all action, CG, and shit like that. They just completely forget about story and are making it entertaining as well. And
Yeah.
that's why I love this movie, whatever, because I didn't pay attention to all those bad effects that you can tell it's a doll, whatever. And that iconic line of hearing, because that's in the actual soundtrack of the song, whatever. Freddy's coming. And you hear that knock. Down, down,
So they get to the basement, and the girl's like, "You put me down, you're hurting me." And it turned out to be a skeleton.
it's like, damn, you didn't pay attention to them raggedy ass skin you was feeling on over
Yeah. And then she wakes, and then they go in the basement, and she finds all these people dead, and they're being hung. I'm like, when did Freddy ever hang people?
there. Ah, so Freddy was a KKK member, is what you're saying there.
I didn't
Nice.
see any black people.
I think I saw they were in whiteface. They were white
Oh, I think Freddy was racist.
You know
He
what? He
didn't want to
teamed
kill
up
black people.
No, well, you know what? He teamed up with Michael Jackson, of
Oh,
course.
okay.
Why else would he wear a Christmas sweater? Who was he trying to attract? Little boys, of course. Come on now.
Little girls.
Well, you know, and he didn't give a shit who he was raping. Come on.
So, Kristen quotes, wakes up from her dream. Goes to the bathroom. All of a sudden, Freddy shows up in the mirror. His
And then the scene comes to life and tries to kill her, and I would have been like, whoa, I would have been like, I gotta stop smoking this shit.
So sure is pretty much in a dream within a dream. Inception.
Yeah, so look where Inception stole it from. Not really.
So her mom goes in the
Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors. Her mom
Dream
comes
Warrior,
in.
Dream Warriors pioneered Inception. There you go.
I think it did.
Yeah, of course.
Her mom shows up in the bathroom, wakes Kristen up, and Kristen's quit committing suicide with a razor, which I have no idea how she got a razor in her hand, but.
Well, one of the sink faucets turned dials turned into blades or whatever. So I'm assuming that was just in her mind, in the real world. That's her picking up a knife or whatever, or whatever it was. I don't know. What do women shave themselves back then with? They was hairy motherfuckers. I don't know if you watched women porn back then, but
No.
I mean, you don't. What?
I don't watch porn. I'm a nice Catholic boy.
You're a fucking liar. You're a fucking liar. Yeah. Oh, what is wrong with you? Oh, you know what? This show's over. That's Catholic boy, huh?
I'm joking.
Yeah, as many horror movies you make, yeah, right. Last time I saw you film something, I could have sworn your last line was, "I don't care what you say, just kill the fucking bitch." I remember you saying that. I was there. Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, I make snuff films.
I'm telling you this right now. Whenever Chad or Z makes movies here, he doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything, whatever. And then when his actors ask him, "What's my line?" whatever, he just rolls his eye and go like, "Just kill the fucking bitch already, okay?" I swear, I seen him do it like 3 times already. I swear, I seen him.
Well, you must have been like creeping on set because I never seen you on set before.
Man, you always film at nighttime. I blend in. The fuck, man? Come on now. Hey, that's racist for you to say something like that. Come on.
Okay, can we continue?
Yeah, we continue. Racist
Okay.
son of a bitch, you.
So her mom admits her to Weston Hills Hospital, hint hint on Freddy vs. Jason. So we meet the doctor, played by Craig Wasson. I believe his name was Neil Gordon in the movie.
Yeah, nobody in this movie will be recognizable except Larry Fishburne, so.
Yes, and he's meeting Max, and all of a sudden Kristen's screaming, and the thing cutting Larry Fishburne's
Cutting Larry
wrist.
Fishburne. She said, "You black bastard, get away from me. You're trying to rape me." He just like, "I'll just try to put her to sleep." And then everybody, all the white people looked at her and was like, "What do you mean put her to sleep?" He's like, "Oh man, come on now."
And then the answer, Kristen starts doing the lullaby.
Oh yeah, and then Nancy walks in and sings it with her, and then they hold hands and they rejoice in Freddy's coming.
That's just kind of weird, but Nancy, it's kind of weird that you just hug a complete stranger because she knows the same rhyme you know.
If anything, I'd have been more worried. I'd have been like, "That bitch is Freddy."
I'm gonna go on the street and start doing some stuff, and the first person that joins in with me, I'm like, hug.
Well, you know what it was as well, whatever. I would have thought she was that little girl or something from the dream she had that was riding the
Okay.
tricycle. I'd have been like,
Interesting.
"How the hell do you know that song?" Whatever. But then again, she is in a mental institute where everybody knows that song, you know?
Yeah. And Nancy, of course, has gray hair, like a gray patch of hair, and she looks, I don't care, she looks hot compared to this one, the first one.
Yeah, she looks like a uglier Denise Richards.
Good observation. That's very good. I like
Yeah, so
that
if you couldn't get Denise Richards, this would be your best bet to get.
Hey, I thought she looked good.
She did look good. That's what I'm saying. If you couldn't get Denise Richards, which I'm saying, since I can't get Denise Richards, I can get Nancy here.
Yes.
I wish Denise Richards would turn me down. I'd be like, "Well, fuck you then, you latex-looking bitch."
So we meet the other patients. Meet Philip, who's a puppet master. Kincaid, tough guy. Joey.
Kincaid's an asshole. He's me.
Yeah. Joey,
Kincaid's
who.
a dick.
He is a kind of a. He's a. I think he just put on an act. I really do.
Yeah, I think that, I think he was ad-libbing.
And listen to his voice. Come on, Freddy! Wait, what
"Hey,
the fuck?
Freddy, you burnt face pussy. Come on, Freddy. Hey, well, give me a kiss then, guys. What's wrong with y'all?"
I thought he was Willis for a second from Different Strokes.
Oh, I thought he was Sanford and Son.
Really?
No, I'm just joking. No, but can you, because the first scene you see of him where he's truly is just like, Mr. Puppet Master over here, he's waking up in a dream walk, he's sleepwalking, whatever, and then Kincaid just looks at him and just like, good night, asshole. And I'm just like, man, you were the worst roommate ever, because you see in all these other rooms, like, they do, like, watch duty as far as, like, falling asleep, and he's just like, whatever.
I know. We meet Joey, who a boy who refuses to speak. Taryn, a former drug addict. Will, who's a...
Taryn was hot. Oh, my God. I'd have gave her all kinds of drugs to fuck. I'd be like, hey, I'll get this bag of cocaine if you sleep with me. Man, I would have snuck into this, man. I was like, I got some hot women working up here.
Well, we're going to get to a hot woman in a minute. Will, who's in a wheelchair after a failed suicide attempt, and Jennifer, who's a wannabe TV actress who burns herself.
Oh, wannabe. That's really good, too, because, good lord, she looks nothing like a TV actress or whatever. I don't even think Z would hire her to be in anything.
Nope.
Lifestyle of the rich and psychotic.
So we meet them, and they're all, you know, trying to convince them that the doctors are... I hated the woman doctor. She was a complete bitch.
Oh, yeah, that old woman. I hated that bitch.
Yeah, I didn't like her at all.
She's like, oh, I'm here for the kids. I'll listen to them. Bitch, you ain't listening to a word they saying.
Nope.
I find it very funny that nobody in this therapy session, whatever, is like, wow, that's weird that you all have the same dreams.
And, yeah, which is, what, a long shot?
Yeah, it's like, how many kids was it? It had to be, like, what, 8 of them? 9, maybe, or whatever?
I think it was...
Six.
Yeah.
You sure? More than that. It's
Kristen, Philip, Kincaid, Taryn, Joey, Will, 7.
Okay, 7. So you got 7 kids here. Granted, they're all from Elm Street, but even that's even more of a coincidence. None of them know each other. They're all from Elm Street, and yet they all have the same dream about the same guy. They don't find that just a little bit weird or whatever, and they're saying that that's all in their mind.
Yeah.
Nobody finds that interesting whatsoever. Just like, maybe I should look into that.
Yeah.
Why don't you try to describe the man to us or whatever? No, instead they're just going, yeah, that's not real. Whatever. You're just making that up. Yeah.
Well,
I wish that would have died, honestly.
Nancy and Dr. and Neil kind of build a relationship with each other like 5 Wait. Seconds after meeting each other.
Yeah, quickly too, because like as soon as they're walking outside, wherever, he already has his hand around her, he's like, I'm getting his ass.
I know. And the funny thing is, she dropped her purse and her pills came out and it was hitting the soul. Hint, hint on Frey vs. Jason 2.
Which, another thing is, she just dropped her purse. That's how bad the effects in this book. She just, her purse is like, she knocked it over automatically.
Yeah, the acting wasn't very top notch, but.
It was convincing. It wasn't top notch, but it was convincing.
Yeah.
And I love how that was the only thing that fell out of the purse.
Yeah, nothing else, just the right pills so he can research them. On a computer, it looks like shit now.
Not only that, it was one of those small, like, little, like, purses that women go out with, like, when they go partying or something like that, and it's like button closed, so I find it hard to believe it just popped open, and that's the only thing that fell. But whatever, it's the story here, I can go along
exactly.
With it. It's 1987,
so. So Nancy goes to Kristen's house to get more information, and the mom's just a complete bitch, and...
Yeah, she's a complete bitch. Isabella, get out here and get this bitch's bags! Oh, that's okay. I can get it myself. You sure? Because I hired that Mexican to get this done.
You
know,
you pretty much have it on the nose on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, they didn't try to be racist in the movie because they never showed that maid, but, you know, they were pretty much racist.
She was at Home Depot. What do you expect?
Oh, well, you know what? They didn't have Home Depot back then. They had Office Depot.
So Nancy goes up to Kristen's room and sees the house, her old house, and obviously steals it. Why, I don't know.
Which is weird that they never brought that up. Just like, how did you know that this was building my house or whatever? You know, I mean, there's another connection here, and yet they never go over this in the psychiatric ward that they're at.
Yeah.
It's like this girl built a house that I used to live in through her dream, and we have we don't even know each other. So, I mean,
yeah. Kristen falls asleep, and all of a sudden, there's then Freddy, and then a snake Freddy, which is weird.
Which was hot.
Really? I thought it was weird.
That was pretty hot, I ain't gonna lie. I wish I had a mouth like that.
Girls would love it.
Oh, man, the things I could do. It'd save up so much time, too, actually.
Yeah, and so Kristen yells for Nancy for some reason, and pulls Nancy into her dream, which was weird.
I'd be pulling all kinds of people into my dream if that's the case. But, you know, I pull people I don't like into my dreams and then leave them there and be like, hey, goodbye.
And the funny thing is that when Freddy was turned into a snake trying to eat Kristen, okay, Nancy stabs him in the eye with a glass. He goes, and then he goes, you. And she goes, run. Where the fuck are you going to run, bitch? It's fucking a dream. Freddy's going to be everywhere.
I thought Freddy looked at her and was just like, you. Like, you're the one I never raped. You got away. Not this time, bitch. Not this time.
It was.
And their best bet is hiding behind a door. I was like, wow, you guys really didn't think this through when you came in here, huh?
Well, they save each other and they wake up and she tells Kristen that Freddy's real and a danger to everybody. And pretty much, you know, Philip falls asleep after being watched by Kincaid. Well, I don't know if he was being watched by Kincaid.
Yeah, Kincaid looked like he was just fucking sleeping in his goddamn self, whatever. That goes to show you never trust a nigga in the horror films.
Well, they always die.
Well, this one didn't die. You just couldn't trust his ass.
Which I think for an 80s horror movie, that has to be a first.
There's some films where the black version doesn't die.
Well, I know Night of the Living Dead, but...
Yeah. There's some films where either they die, or you know why they have to die, though? Is because they make the most logical sense in the movie, and they can't have that through horror movies because there is no logical sense toward the end of the movie. Like I love, like, Kincaid through the whole movie. He's like, fuck everybody. Y'all are gonna die before me because y'all weak. Y'all can't handle it. And I was like, wow, that sounds like something I'd say, you know?
Yeah.
And then when he gets into the dream, he's just like, well, then what the hell are we waiting for then? Why are we looking for Freddy? Hey, Freddy, bring your ass out here. So, yeah, so, you know, he's making a lot of sense.
Well, Philip falls asleep and he's the first victim. Freddy turned from one of Philip's puppets turns into a miniature Freddy.
Which was awesome.
That as a kid, that scared the living shit out of me because I had a Freddy doll. That
oh,
talks.
Yeah. I had a Freddy doll too, and I kept shaking that motherfucker come to life.
My parents got it for me, and as soon as I saw this, I'm like, I can't sleep with this doll in my room. They had to hide it in the closet.
That doll's buried somewhere in Ohio right now.
I hope I buried it right.
The only way he could sleep is whatever he had to bury and burn that motherfucker.
I hope I burned it right.
Yeah, I hope you buried it.
So he turns into a puppet. All of a sudden, he's just walking with like his tendons or his muscles.
It looked like his tendons.
Well, then he pretty much leads him to the top of a balcony and cuts the things. And I don't know why he would cut the things. And all of a sudden, he falls forward. But
which I don't understand how nobody saw this motherfucker walking down the hallways. I mean,
well, they showed the one nurse.
Yeah, they showed that one nurse, and I was just like,
black nurse.
It just goes to show you black people need to be fired down.
She's probably like, I'm not going to deal with that white guy problems.
She probably said, just don't ignore him. Don't pay any attention to him. He's a little psychotic, so no.
Well, he's a sleepwalker, and you're not supposed to wake up sleepwalkers.
If a motherfucker just vanishes through a door, I wouldn't pay attention to him either, actually.
Yeah, he did. That was kind of a good special effect, how they did that, vanishing through the door.
That's where all the money went into.
That's where the $4 million went? For yeah. that one scene?
Yeah, okay. They hired Houdini to perform a magic trick to put him through here.
Alright, well, Joey died, or not Joey, Philip dies, commits suicide, quote.
Which I love how Joey's just waking up everybody, and I'm just like, why don't you run up them stairs and go save him?
What are you doing? Hey, come on, man! Are you crazy? Oh, shit! What's he doing? Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out!
What's the matter?
I know, and everyone's witnessing it.
Yeah, it was like everybody's just standing there screaming or whatever. I was just like, well, why don't y'all just run up those stairs and go help a brother out? I mean, what the hell is y'all screaming at him going to do from how many floors down? Because it lights at a bell tower while they're all on the first floor.
Yeah, and it's obvious. It's really weird that they had an obvious, clear line of sight of this, too.
I want to say they said in the movie it was either 60 feet that he was up.
I think it was.
I was like, wow, he went up all those stairs that quickly or whatever, and nobody saw him. And at the top of that, you guys just stood there on the first floor. Philip, no, Philip.
Well, Freddy couldn't just pick him up by his tendons or whatever and just place him up there. He had to walk him.
Yeah,
the boy got a workout before he died? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, he was like, I can't let you go to hell out of shape now. Shit, you're gonna be running from them, getting your ass whipped or whatever. So, you know, make sure you in tip-top shape here.
Well, Philip's dead, and who was her name? Jennifer, the TV actress, sitting on a couch, watching TV, trying to stay awake, burns herself with cigarettes.
Yeah, she's burning herself with cigarettes. Before that scene, though, is when they get the therapist scene, and they're all having a little group meeting, and then that's when Kid K said, he's like, well, we all know what happened. That fucking bastard murdered him. And then he was like, what do you think, Kid K? He's like, he was weak.
Yeah, I know. He, boy, be weak.
He's fucking weak, whatever. And then he was like, I'm putting you guys, locking the doors now, whatever, and you guys are going to be taking a... we're gonna be sedating you guys, whatever. And Kike threw his chair. Fuck that! Y'all ain't sedating me. I ain't going to sleep. Y'all can't put me to sleep. Put him in the quiet room. The quiet room, yeah, whatever. And this motherfucker was in there, looking like goddamn Riddler in there, shaking and shit, going, "He not gonna put me to sleep." He's talking like he was Chris Tucker and shit. He's like, "Man, I ain't gonna put me to sleep, man." Shaking and shit, rocking back and forth.
Well, then we go to Jennifer, sitting on the couch watching Dick Cavett and Zsa Zsa Gabor.
She's probably the worst out of all of them.
What's that?
She's probably the least interesting out of all of them.
Yeah, her and Philip didn't really, you know, they were pretty much body count. That's all they were.
Philip was okay because in that little therapist scene or that group meeting, whatever, he seemed like the smart one where he was talking about how the dreams, because he pretty much brought up what I said. He's like, we're all having the same dreams, and he started naming off some of the names of it and everything. I was like, oh, he's interesting because he seems like the most intelligent out of all of them, whatever, because he brought that up and nobody pays attention to that. But
that's why Freddy killed him first, because he was the smart one.
Yeah. He said, oh, smart white guy? Nah, can't have that.
But like, we're not going to give away too much of the plot. He's going first.
Yeah, and plus, he's a Jew.
Was he?
He had a Jew fro. Ain't that good enough?
Okay. I thought you knew something I didn't.
I don't know that for sure, but he had that Jew fro, and he was smart, so he had to be... Yeah,
okay.
And then plus, Freddy was like, "Oh, he's creating puppets. I don't need him bringing that shit into my dream." Come on now.
We don't want
attacked by Chucky now.
We don't want to turn us into puppet masters. Come on.
No, exactly. Whatever. So no, we have to kill him first. Whatever. We can't have no intelligent people here around here. That's why he kept the black dude alive. He thought he was an ignorant ass nigga.
He's like, that boy can get some work done for me.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he got a lot of meat on him. I'm gonna have him pick some cotton before I kill his ass.
This could have turned to Django really fast.
Freddy's gonna set Kincaid loose and be like, "Now you know where the rest of the Elm Street kids are now."
Wait, what was the big black guys in Django? The big fighting?
Oh, the Mandinga, the Mandango.
That was Kincaid.
Freddy's using him to do Mandingo fighting or whatever. It's like, oh, that would have been awesome, actually. If that would have been Kincaid's dream or whatever, he would have to fight, like, other black people. And it was like, and then Freddy's in the audience eating popcorn talking about, there's some good Mandingo fighting here.
He kind of looks like Calvin Candy.
Yeah. He's got a suit on, and it's that same color as that sweater. It's all red and green with the hat on and everything.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, and Dawkins sitting up there or whatever. He's like, hey, what do you guys think of this? He was like, Dream Warriors. I should have ended it like that.
Okay.
Damn, I think we got a movie on our hands here.
We do. Well, Jennifer's watching TV and falls asleep, and Dick Cavett turns into Freddy and goes to kill Zsa Zsa, and TV goes to snow.
I love that. It's prime time, bitch.
He goes up to her, goes up to the TV and starts... Did you see that remote control she had?
Oh my god, that motherfucker was huge.
That was like the size of a football. What the fuck was that? I think that was just an up-down one. That's all that it was.
I thought that was TiVo. I think she pulled an antenna out of that motherfucker, too. I was like, whoa. Wow. I love it. The TV, like, blacks out and after she hears Freddy's voice and she walks towards the TV. I'm just like, my black ass would have stayed at that couch and just been looking like, well, I guess TV goes off now.
Well, she smacks the TV and all of a sudden, Freddy's arms come out of the TV and she screams. I think she screamed before the TV, before the arms.
Remember what happened when before the TV went out, though? He just said, you don't know shit about acting.
No, he goes, he picks her up and he goes, this is it, Jennifer, your big break. And smashes her head in the TV and Max and Morpheus runs in.
It's prime time, bitch.
It's the funny thing is that she's like, you know, hanging from the TV, you know, dead. The doctor said it's a suicide. What the fuck? Did she jump up there like LeBron James?
Oh my god, I said the same goddamn thing when I watched this yesterday. I said, her feet is like at least 10 feet off the ground or whatever. I was just like, so did she just run and throw herself to the TV? How the hell is that suicide? There's nothing.
Hey, if it was suicide, she wanted to go bad.
You know what Morpheus said? Damn, she really wanted to be a TV actress.
She was that dumb, she thought she could just walk into the TV.
Damn, that's why they thought it was suicide. It was like, she had dreams of being a TV actress, and she must have really wanted to be there. I think they said that at her funeral, she really wanted to be an actress, because clearly she killed herself by throwing herself literally into the TV world. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you cannot throw yourself into the TV.
That really made it unbelievable when the doctors were like, it's a suicide. Motherfuckers!
Because I don't know if you remember how hard those TVs was back then.
No. Well, I think a little bit.
I do, because I remember probably till I was like, right till like 10 or 11, I had one in the garage, because that was where we just kept the old ones at, whatever, and I used to go outside and play my games out there, whatever, and stuff. And those damn things were hard as fuck. I remember I used to throw controllers and shit.
Yeah, me too.
Them motherfuckers was hard, so I mean, to literally pick yourself up and throw yourself into it and slant and break the whole glass like that, I don't think that's so. Maybe in today's TVs you can do that, because they're light as fuck, but those old ones, hell no.
Yeah. Well, Neil, Dr. Gordon, is visited by Mary Helena, who is a creepy-looking motherfucker, bitch.
Yeah. She's a bitch.
Pretty much, she told him his Freddy's origin about his mom being raped in an insane asylum.
By 100 murders. She called it purgatory.
So, this was during Jennifer's funeral, too. He, like, stayed in the back, you know?
When she said purgatory, I'm not gonna lie. I said, so you enjoyed it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, you enjoyed being raped by 100 murder. I was like, wow, how did I'd assume it was a prison break or something then, I would assume, right?
Cause, I would think so.
Yeah, because I was going to say, where was everybody else at when you was getting raped by these 100 people?
They were in line.
Oh, nice. Oh, because I could have sworn I think I was in line.
It could have been like 105, but the guards are like, let's just keep it 100.
Oh, wow. So Freddy's my child then. I created that.
Way to go. Way to go.
Hey, create an icon there.
All right.
Wonder he never contacts me. Got daddy issues.
Yeah. Well, then we get to Nancy and Neil and is in her apartment telling her. What's that?
I was like, wow, they really hit it off really good, huh?
I know. I was like, love at first sight, man.
I was like, damn, I had a chance then. If this fucking dude could get that, I was like, man. I wonder what Denise Richards looked like back then. Well, she wasn't even alive back then.
I think she was alive, but I don't know.
She's probably like my age.
Maybe. I think she's like,
you know what? She's like 10 years older than me. She's probably your age.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, Nancy convinces Neil about having a group dream session, and they fall asleep and they tell everybody about their powers, and the Kristen has the power of pulling each other in into their dreams.
I love a Taryn's power, which, by the way, Taryn, she is still hot today.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at photos of her, I ain't gonna lie, whatever. But my god, that woman's still hot. But her powers had to be the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever seen. I'm just like, wow, they really didn't have any imagination back in 87.
She's like, I'm beautiful and bad. Psh, you get the switchblades out.
You know what I said? I said, so you're pretty much a whore.
Pretty much.
I said, well, alright then.
Whatever. Yeah, Kincaid is strong. He can bend the chair, and it sounds like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, and what's that bitch? Kristen, she's athletic.
She's a gymnast.
She can pretty much do parkour.
not around the Punisher, but
yeah, exactly. She stopped doing parkour when she saw the Punisher.
Will can walk, and then he turns into Harry Potter.
He turns into fucking Houdini or whatever, the most broke down Houdini format ever. He pretty much becomes Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yeah. Joey wanders off.
Being lurked. <my ass. laughs>
He just sees the hot nurse and like she's like, come on, Joey. Okay.
I love it because all the people here are talking about their powers and shit, and his thing is, fuck that, I want some ass.
Exactly. That was funny.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's me. I said, that's how Freddy would kill me. All he had to do was put some titties in front. I'd be like, oh, like, they won. That's not real. Fuck y'all.
So, pretty much the nurse lures him into a room and they start making out. She gets naked.
She's like, I don't know if you know Joey, but I want you. He was just like, he started talking to him. He's just like, I want you too. She's like, oh shit, you can talk. He's like, I never said I couldn't.
This is the first. This is the first nude scene we have for Throwback Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, and those titties was mwah, perfect.
80s, oh, 80s body, too. This looks like she looks like she was in the 90s.
Well, you know what? This was a horror movie in the 80s, so, you know, titties, if we start doing more horror movies in the 80s, it'll be relevant to start talking about those, because that was like, it's funny how times has changed now where we don't see titties, we see more dicks than we see titties now.
Exactly.
But that just goes to show you who the audience of these moviegoers are these days. Gay men and women. Oh, and P1.
The nurse, after making him out, pretty much sucks his tongue out.
Oh, I would have enjoyed that. I would have told Freddy, keep going, motherfucker! Keep going! I'm bouncing up and down in that bed. You're like, come on, motherfucker!
She ties Joey up with tongues. And he's in much in a comatose when the doctor walks in.
So kinky. I don't think he was in a comatose. I think he was just enjoying it so much that he just stayed there.
He was in ecstasy?
Yeah, exactly. He was having ecstasy right now, whatever. Him and Freddy was fucking behind stage.
Yeah. So, Joey's in a coma, somewhat.
Freddy would have let me go for the simple fact that I had that the whole time I'd been tied up and they're thinking about how they're going to save me. I'd have been like, Freddy! Freddy! He'd have been coming around the corner, what the fuck do you want? I'd be like, can you turn back into that nurse or whatever and show them titties?
That's all I want.
If I gotta be here, man, you need to be a good host. Come on now. I'd have been bothering the shit out of him. Freddy, I'm thirsty, man. You got some Kool-Aid.
This makes no sense, because Freddy's pretty much keeping someone hostage when he just kills people.
It comes back, though, like, he was keeping him hostage for them to come to him.
Yeah, but this is a change in Freddy compared to the first two. To the first one. I'm not counting the second one because it's retarded. But he's more comedic in this one.
You know what? I've always found him comedic, though.
I think this is the start of it. I don't think he was that funny.
So I think it's more of the start of, because I thought his lines was always comedic, but I thought that this was the start of where he was having more fun with his chasing.
Mm-hmm. Because some of these people actually put up a fight.
Yeah, and honestly, I've always said that about this, Freddy. Even when I saw the first one, I'm just like, Mom, if it's their dreams, how come they can't do what they want? That was a stupid young P1 right there, and Mom just looked at me and said, shut the fuck up and just watch the movie, boy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that was always my idea. It was like, if it's their dreams, come they just can't, you know? Because, you know, in my dreams, I know I always up conjuring up some shit up in there. So, dude, I'd be fucking Captain America, Iron Man, and Spider-Man all into one and shit, so.
Yeah. Neil and Nancy are both fired for leaving the children leaving them without in harm or something. I don't know why.
Well, prescribing that drug for them.
Oh, the hypnosol, the FDA. Yeah.
And because they did that hypnosis thing off the record. You know, the book or whatever. So.
So Nancy and Neil goes to meet Nancy's dad, played by John Saxon, who I love.
Yeah. Before that, though, they get to that scene where. This is the scene I said where, like, Freddie was just like, well, she was sitting there by Joey, and Freddie just, she says, "Let him go, you bastard," and he writes on his chest, "Come get him, bitch."
Obviously, Freddie can hear what's going on when people are awake.
Yeah, so he's obviously just, because he knows this girl, Nancy's still around, so he's just, he's playing around, he's like, "Hey, I got a reason for you to come to me now. Come to me, bitch. Come to me."
Well,
that's all he wanted was some ass. I mean, just give Freddie some ass or whatever, and just he'd be fine.
Remember, Nancy was Freddie's girlfriend.
Yeah, it was his first love, and she got away.
Yeah, it's like a secret admirer. You know, it's just a love note.
He's just a guy looking for love and looking for love in all the wrong places.
So, Nancy's dad is still a cop, and he's a drunk now.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, what kind of cop does nothing? Well, and sits on his ass all day. Oh, never mind. LAPD.
Well, at least they didn't put him in a donut shop.
Yeah, they put him in a bar, which is far worse. But then again, I better shut my mouth because there's actually a detective who's a fan of this show. So.
Oh, shit. We love the LAPD.
Yeah, I love the LAPD. I love them all the time, whatever. Just please don't come looking for me.
So, Neil managed to convince him to go find the bones, because they got to bury the bones properly.
I love how Neil manned up for once or whatever in the movie. He's just like, "Hey, my name is Dr. Neil Gordon or whatever, and I need to talk to you." Slaps the drink out of his hand, picks him up, whatever. "Now, we need to go find this bastard," whatever. I love how, because, you know, Freddy's power, or at least for the parents, they're just like, he doesn't exist. Forget him, because if you don't remember him, if you try to forget about him, then his name isn't brought up, then, you know, he loses his power or whatever. So that's his whole thing. But I love how he's just like, as soon as he heard Fred Krueger, he just looked at her and was like, "That didn't happen. He's dead. Let's have a drink. Shut up." Look in his eyes. It's just like he's in such denial.
Yes. Nancy sneaks back into the hospital, gets everybody rounded up, and they go to sleep, like a slumber party.
I would have, you know what? I would have took her body and brought her back to my place. If I was Kincaid, I'm serious. I wouldn't have fell asleep. I'd have just loved and like, "Yeah, let's go to sleep, whatever." And then as soon as everybody would have fell asleep, I'd have been like, "All right, now we'll send these motherfuckers wallets and shit. I'd have robbed them."
Well, they all go to sleep and they go back. They wind up in the quiet room with Kincaid because he was separate from them.
All of them were separated.
So pretty much everyone's, Taryn and Will are separated, which I don't know why, but how that happened.
All of them were separated except when Nancy found Kristen. And then,
oh, that's right, yeah.
Kincaid found him, and Taryn was, Kristen was the first one to run into Freddy, because they had that, she had a dream of her, when the movie first started, of her building the house, and next thing you know, her mom comes in, and then she hears, "Hey, Karen, do you have any bourbon down here?" And then she's like, "Look, I gotta go, honey." And then she just gets yanked out of the door, and then all you hear is Freddy's go, "I said, where's the fucking bourbon, bitch?"
"Lane, where do you keep the bourbon?"
"I'll be right down." "Chris, I've got a guest."
"Please, Mom, I just don't want to be alone."
"I said, where's the fucking bourbon?"
"You should listen to your mother."
"God damn it, Kristen, you ruin everything. Every time I bring a man home, you spoil it. You know what your shrink says? You're just trying to get a little attention."
And the mom, and he holds the mom's head. "Kristen, you fuck up everything."
"Yeah, I can never bring a man over here. Good Lord," Freddy's just like, "I'm just trying to fuck Kristen, Jesus. Let him go." And then she does her little parkour shit over the flint. She literally throws herself out the window. She just like...
winds up in the house, and then Freddy's gone. And then we go over
Kristen
to Taryn.
Yelling out Nancy's name, whatever. And then Taryn hears her. And then Taryn ends up in an alley. pretty much her life.
Yeah, she's a former druggie, and she sees this guy in a hat walking by, and she looks and looks back at him and looks in front. And there's Freddy, which is kind of a cool twist. It was kind of a cool suspense thing.
And I was saying in my head, I bet you wish you had better powers now, don't you, bitch?
She pulls out the blades and starts swinging at him at Freddy, and he's just missing them, and all of a sudden,
I love how when she stabs him, and then he just like, wait, hey, Taryn, it's me. He's talking to her like he knows her, and she's like, it's me, whatever. And she starts backing up. I'm just like, why are you backing up? Keep stabbing his ass. And then he's just like, ready to get fucked up now.
He shows that all of his fingers are now syringes. And you see her arms, her pot marks on her arms, and they're all like talking or whatever.
Yeah, like, and he stabs her at him, and he tells him, instant high. And his eyes start rolling in the back of his head. I was like, is Freddy getting high off this shit?
I think he's having an orgasm. Let's get high.
Hey, he finally got to fuck somebody or whatever, but you know what? His fucking didn't want to stop right there. He's just like, I need more pussy. Good lord.
So he pretty much kills her by overdose.
Hey, question. You think Taryn's body is still in the real world?
Yeah.
Oh, need to find that body then. It's still fresh for like 24 hours before it.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying, man. Tell me you don't want to take turns?
No, I'll pass on that one, man. That's all you. That's all you.
Okay, you don't even want to go first? I'm letting you go first, at least.
I'll sit back and watch.
Okay, cool. Cool. Hey, film this, man. Here, hold my iPhone.
Oh my god. I love how you turn everything into that.
I'll sing Dream Warriors as I do it.
Then we go to Will, who's almost gets attacked by a runaway wheelchair.
Sorry, I laughed when I saw that wheelchair come out of nowhere. I said, Freddy, that is fucked up. The ultimate death for a handicapped person.
Then Will turns into, seriously, God, it's fucking Harry Potter. He has glasses and everything. He looks like a Harry Potter.
He does look like Daniel Radcliffe, but, you know, he looked like Dracula with that goddamn outfit on.
Yeah, he did. And
because
he,
that suit didn't even fit his ass or whatever. Like, he just popped up and, like, I'm a grandmaster. But I'm sorry, like, back on that wheelchair, I don't know about you, but I was laughing hard when I saw that wheelchair come out of nowhere.
It was a funny scene.
Because he was just like, he looked tired. He was like, why don't you have a seat there? I forgot the kid's name. Was it Will?
Will.
Yeah, he's like, Will, have a seat. He was like, I don't need to have a seat in here. He's just like, sure you don't here, but in the real world, you wake up, poof, look at you now. I was like, oh, that's fucked up, man. Freddy's just fucking with this kid.
He was. Then Will hits him with one of his spells, and Freddy pretty much stabs him because he says he's a non-believer. And that he says what he says something.
He says, I don't believe in that shit.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Because I was like, okay, so he rises up as Dracula, and he starts zapping him or whatever. And then he pretty much became the Emperor from Star Wars. Unlimited powers! Which I don't know why, as he's zapping Freddy, he runs up close on him. I'm just like, if you can shoot him from a distance, why the fuck would you run up close to him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Freddy just grabs him.
And goes, I don't believe in that shit, kid.
I think he rips out his heart. I really do.
I don't remember seeing it.
So. No, I think they just did a faraway shot because the camera kind of zoomed back.
I think he had another orgasm.
Probably. Then we find...
discriminate.
Then we go to the encounter Joey being held hostage, and
no, well, Kristen finds Nancy finds Kristen first, and then Kincaid finds
busts through. He busts through a wall,
and then he's like, I thought I heard voices. He's talking like he's Ryan Gosling and shit like that. Whatever. He's like, hey guys. he's like, so did we find Freddy yet? He's like, well then let's start asking. Hey Freddy, you burnt face pussy. You think you some hot shit with that little mute kid with you, huh?
Well, Freddy shows up, almost kills Kincaid, and then Neil and Nancy's dad, Don, are digging up the bones, and then Freddy senses the bones, which is weird, and disappears, and shows up as a skeleton, which was horrible CG. It was horrible.
Oh, hey man, you You cannot talk shit about the CG of 87. Come on.
No, but you could tell how fake it was, though.
It looked horrible, but you know what? Hey, it's 2013, and some shit still looks horrible.
Yeah. Pretty much, the dad dies, gets stabbed by Bone Freddy. Neil's hit with a shovel and buried, and like gets like three things of dirt shoved on him, and Freddy starts celebrating like he won.
I know, I was like, wow, he didn't try to bury him all the way, he just said, fuck it. He's like, I gotta go get my ass down.
He goes like, rawr, rawr, like three times, and I'm like, okay?
I was like, so Freddy really did get high when he injected Taryn with that shit, then. I was like, all right,
then. everyone's in a room with mirrors, which you know something's gonna be playing with that one.
Dream World!
And Freddy shows up in all the mirrors and pulls them all in there, all through a
Except
mirror.
Joey.
Whose power was to scream really loud.
I guess he could talk more, like his voice, like since he can't talk now, whatever, his voice is infinite beyond.
He pretty much turns to Adele.
He turns into, I knew I heard Skyfall in there somewhere, whatever. But he turns into, Black Canary. She's a DC character.
Yeah.
She
and all the.
Real loud, whatever, and break like the sound barrier and all that shit, whatever. So
all the mirrors break and everyone flies through the mirrors horribly. But
I was like, wow, everybody has cool powers except for Taryn. I don't know what the hell she was thinking about that.
And they think Freddy's dead because of this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then her father shows up, which I don't know why. Nancy's father shows up. Because he's dead now, but mm-hmm. still, I don't understand why she would believe her father would show up and, hey, Nancy, you were always right, I love
and
you.
And he's all clean cut and all, you know, all looks like he's he sober. Wasn't drunk. Yeah, he was sober.
He's sober, he's like an angel now all of a sudden, and I'm just like, wow, she's really buying this or whatever, it's like, what fucked up dream are you in right now, whatever, and then it turns out to be, when she turns her head, Freddy shows up and he stabs her and he's just like, you didn't think it was over, did you, bitch? Huh?
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I, you know, towards the ending, I was just like, okay, this is a little ridiculous here.
Because Nancy was pretty much the Jamie Lee Curtis of the series, and he killed her off in the third one.
You know, she comes back in the
New Nightmare, yeah.
Yeah.
But
fourth one, and I didn't like that one either, actually, that she was the one that died and the black guy lived.
I know, I didn't like her dying. I really didn't.
Yeah, so, and I thought it was a ridiculous way of her to die.
yeah, it was. At least freaking Jamie Lee Curtis put up a fight.
Even not even that, though. It's just, bitch, you in a dream. Why the fuck would your father show up?
Exactly.
Come on now. You just got done fighting a psychopath who you don't even know is dead yet, and then your father just shows up with some fucking glowing halo over him or whatever, and some golden shower appearing over him, pissed over him and shit, and you're just like, Daddy?
I know.
Freddy said as he killed it, he's like, damn, this bitch was easy.
Neil wakes up and he pours holy water and a cross on Freddy's bones and he pretty much explodes.
He is the ultimate orgasm.
Yeah, he does.
They should have showed Freddy in heaven or whatever. Like, what the fuck is this place? And Jason and Chucky and all them pass by. Hey, Freddy. Hey, what's going on?
We'll catch a beer later. Where's Taryn's body?
Hey, where's that body at now? Like, we don't have that up here, Freddy or whatever. He's like, what the fuck you mean? He's like, there's no raping up here.
Yeah. I love that after Freddy's dead, Kristen's holding Nancy and she says, I'll send you into a beautiful dream.
Oh, it's a fantasy world, whatever, and the next thing you know, they're all running around in bra and panties and shit and whatever. And, you know,
that's your fantasy.
That's the movie's fantasy. That's how the hell they made that, because they were lesbians. I'm going to tell you that right now. They were lesbian lovers.
Probably.
You can't tell me they wasn't lesbian lovers. I mean, she's like, I'll dream you into a beautiful dream, Nancy. I'll be there with you. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
So we go to the Thompson's funeral, which I guess they had a dual funeral.
A funeral for Nancy, because they said it at the end, it was for Nancy.
And how do you expect, you know, how do you tell, how do you, like, say Nancy died in a room with four people, you know? She got stabbed and there's no knife. How do you explain that?
Well, I would imagine that her body would probably be, like, cut up and stuff and bleeding or whatever, because mm-hmm. I'd imagine what happens to you in the dream world happens to you in the real world, because, like, they cut up on Joey's body and it showed up in the real world.
Which I feel sorry for him because he's gonna have to live with that until the next movie. Come get him, bitch. Come get him, bitch.
Yeah. You show the chicks at the bar and be like, "Hey, baby."
Wouldn't a nurse come in and be like, "Who did this to Joey?"
I mean, shit, he can show this like, cause you know he's gonna grow up to be a horn dog anyway. I mean, this motherfucker was looking for ass throughout the whole movie and shit. So, you know, he's obviously gonna grow up to be in a bar just like her father was and shit, and be like just chasing ass and shit like that.
Yeah, and we find out that Mary Helena was Amanda Krueger, Freddy's mom, all along. Suspense.
Oh, yeah, the suspense of that, even though, I mean, I don't know about you, but it was pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah. And then the movie ends with Neil sleeping. He stole Nancy's dream doll, Dick.
Literally stole, because, like, once again, how do you explain that Nancy died?
And he stole Kristen's papier-mâché house, too.
To be honest, that was at the psychiatric ward.
Okay.
Remember Nancy?
I thought it was in Nancy's place.
Nah, because Nancy brought it to the ward place. Because I remember when Kristen first brought him to the dream, she was still at the place because you could tell by the background.
Okay.
The place, shit. So, but then again, at the same time, it's just like, why the fuck would you bring that to your house?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't understand why he would bring that to her house or whatever. I mean, I understand, hey, Nancy was a hot piece of commodity there, and you ain't gonna get no hotter than that, but you could at least just, you know, did something with her body one more time before you took it to the grave or whatever, and shit, instead of taking her little fucking dollhouse or whatever, which you knew to be for Freddy's ass or whatever, because it ends with him sleeping, and then the light comes on, and then all you hear is, Freddy's home. No, I'm just playing.
You hear his laugh, which is actually Vincent Price from Thriller's laugh.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was actually Vincent Price, but I would have preferred actually Freddy's home.
Like the doorbell rings.
Yeah, doorbell rings, whatever, and then his face shows up and he's just like, hey, bitch, you're next. he should have ended, it's prime time, bitch. Dream Warrior.
So, what's your review for Nightmare on Elm Street 3?
It's my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie. I'm a big fan of Freddy Krueger. He's probably one of my favorite horror icons, actually, whatever, because I thought it was one of the first horror movies that took the horror comedy to actually just blending in any kind of genre with comedy and making it work, too. I thought with the concept of the whole idea of putting Freddy in your dreams and using your dreams to make him part of it was actually interesting. I love that part. That was my whole thing of the whole dream thing anyway. The acting, I love Kincaid in it. That dude is funny as hell. Nancy, she's hot as hell in this movie, whatever. Like I said, poor woman's Denise Richard.
Yeah.
the music in it, love the music. Soundtrack is awesome as well, whatever. Of course, The Crow is my favorite soundtrack, but this is a pretty close top five here, whatever. But, I love the ending action scene when they all get stuck in the dream, whatever. So yeah, this is a high seat for me.
This I'm basing off of the original because I'm forgetting about part two. Like obviously they did. I'm gonna give this a medium bag. This is the start of Funny Freddy, where he goes really funny. You can see in part four, part five, then in part six that he gets really ridiculous. It gets as it goes along. The acting's pretty good. Patricia Arquette, she just cried throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Heather Langenkamp.
It's convincible.
It is. For her character, it is.
Yeah, the acting for everybody I thought was convincing. I thought, like, it wasn't the best acting, but their reactions to everything was like, on par as far as back at these times.
Heather Langenkamp is pretty much the second star of Nightmare on Elm Street next to Robert Englund. I did not like the doctor, Neil Gordon. He seemed weird to me.
I didn't think he was going to live.
Me either. I really was kind of hoping he would die.
I kind of wanted him to die, actually, because it just seems like he was just going along for the ride. It didn't seem like he was going to have no part of it. I mean, there was times where, like, I was like, that's nonsense. Okay, I'll have an open mind about it. And then even when he found out about it, I was just like, so they're going to explore that or whatever? Like, usually in these kind of movies, like, he usually still doesn't have an open mind about it or whatever, and then until he finally, like, meets him face-to-face or die or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the kind of character I was expecting with him. He's a non-believer until he dies.
Yeah.
I did not.
Instead, he was beat up by a skeleton.
I did not like that. That the kids in the psych hospital were the last kids on Elm Street, and they never knew each other.
That's a little. I mean, how big is fucking Elm Street now?
Maybe I don't know. It's that's why that's something I just don't get. And it's been 6 years, I believe, from the first one, and
to be
this
fair,
has never been brought up.
I will say that maybe we don't know their age differences. Maybe one could be.
Maybe
older than
the other. Taryn could have been older, and that could have been the drugs. I don't know.
Yeah, she's still hot. You wouldn't fuck her?
I would.
And
I just think that 6 years and these kids would never know anything about bodies being killed. You know, I just thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, you know, I could say 6 years, bodies being killed. No, remember, nobody knows who Freddy is because they try to forget about him.
Yeah, the parents don't talk to him because the kids' parents were the ones that killed him.
Yeah, and they don't want to talk about him because, you know, they can't. That's how he loses his power or whatever. So I can understand where kids don't know about him and stuff like that. Or if they heard about bodies being killed, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh, that's all just a myth, whatever. That didn't really happen. They just died because of such circumstances or something. So
in part two, the kid, I think his name was Jesse. In Freddy's Revenge, he lived in Nancy's house too. And whatever happened to them, why isn't he should be in a psych ward after what happened to him?
He probably went on to become a part of this band called Dokken, the third one, and made Dream Warriors. That's why.
Dream Warriors.
Don't wanna dream no more.
You wanna get to the comments?
Yes, we can get to the comments. Whatever. Hey, by the way, everybody. Z likes the remake better than Dream Warriors.
I didn't say that. Stop.
This is going to make some interesting comments next week now.
I never said that. Just because I picked the remake doesn't mean I like this one. I didn't like this one.
He gave that one a bucket. I heard him. I heard his review. He said that was the most inspirational horror film he's ever seen in his life, and that he wished more horror movie remakes was like this or whatever. He doesn't care how shitty it is or doesn't matter to the remake. He just liked that one so much, though. I can't believe it, though.
Do you not read my reviews on fancritic.com?
I read it, and that's what you wrote. I remember. I read it. That's
I gave said. It two. I think I gave it 3 stars.
You gave it 5. You've just been drinking, that's all.
Okay.
Stop the alcohol.
Get to the comments, because I have to leave for work in like 10 minutes.
Take my time, then. Jamie says, great show for a bad movie. Everybody hated this movie, honestly.
That was Punisher Warzone.
Punisher Warzone, that was a great movie. Next movie comment here is Tiny Tim. I really hated this movie the first time I saw it, but after hearing you guys talk about it, I gotta say, those dumb scenes were pretty damn funny. I watched it again and could not stop laughing when he blew up that parkour guy with the rocket launcher. LOL. Good show, guys.
I believe it.
Yeah, it was. That was a believable scene, though. That really happened. That wasn't CG or special effects or nothing
like
that.
Nope, that guy risked his life.
Yeah, exactly. That guy really did risk his life doing what he loved. Parkour. Next comment comes from Raymond. He says, wow, you guys made this film sound fun. I wish I could have watched it with you guys, because I remember watching it and going, damn, this is bad. Also, I really love the show so far, and the concept is really cool. What's the origin story, P1? We were drinking and said we should do a show.
that's a lie.
Oh, I could have sworn I was, man.
Yes, you probably were.
Yeah, well,
when TPO's previous co-host on Movie Spoilers quit unexpectedly, I threw my name in the hat to co-host and with him, and P1 had other ideas, and that's where Throwback Tuesday came along.
Yeah, I wanted to do, my thing was, which I probably said over and over again since I started this again, I wanted to expand the site. I wanted to have more shows and shit like that. I wanted to make it bigger. I just didn't want to have one show a week or whatever, because, you know, you ain't going to go anywhere with one show a week. And doing cramming all that shit three movies into one, comments and all that shit, 3-hour, 4-hour shows and shit like that. No. I was like, so I want to do something every day or whatever. And I wanted to have an idea. And I was doing something on Eye Open Pictures where we wanted to have, like, cross promotions and stuff like that, whatever. And I was like, why don't we just make a cross promotion show? And I wanted to do something that I wasn't already doing. And I was like, well, I could do older movies. I haven't did that yet. And threw the idea to see here, and he didn't mind it. He liked it, and we've just been going on from then. And it's probably been one of my favorite shows of doing, actually, so far.
It is. It's like a highlight for my week.
Yeah. So you know, but so yeah, that's pretty much origin. Origin story how we met. We met last year in Ohio. So.
Yes. I mean, was his. Before that, though, I bought P1 for $25.95.
Yeah, he bought me for $25.95. He got me shipped for an extra $5.95.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap bastard got me for ground. He didn't give me next day delivery.
I think Billy Mays was selling him.
Yeah, exactly. BillyMays.com. You can find all your black people there. Your black famous people, black famous washed up B stars there. You'll find Kincaid in the C section.
Mm-hmm. And I introduced P1 to a Negro hunter.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where the journey began. And he was the guy that shot me in his zombie movie. And
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm just making up a story here.
Oh, okay.
You're fucking my story up here now. Good lord, I was gonna say something. You initially raped me, and then we've been friends since then.
Yes, because you refused to turn your back to me.
But yeah, that's usually how the origin story of that went along, whatever. Oh, and apparently I fucked the mailbox, apparently. Everybody in Ohio kept telling me that, but I don't remember that.
You did.
I did remember touching a mailbox. I don't remember. Okay, I do remember that now. Never mind then.
Not a mailbox. A mailbox you see on the street that's blue that he never seen in his life.
Hey, it's been a while since I've seen one of those. Next comment here comes from Jason. Says this movie is a horrible rendering of this movie is a horrible rendering of the Punisher. How is it so hard to get this guy right? And I think I said that in a review. I think just people just don't know how to take the character. They don't know where to take him.
Well, I still don't consider Punisher as a comic book, because comic books are supposed to be like action heroes. I don't consider Punisher an action hero.
He is an action hero though.
Whatever. He's a vigilante. That's what I think of him as.
Have you ever read the Punisher comic book?
I have not.
Yeah, that's usually what happens in them. Whatever. I mean. He's kind of a cohort. I mean, honestly, what you saw in Warzone is the Punisher description from the books.
Okay.
So, I mean, and being tied up with Marvel and being introduced in, like, because he's been in, like, with Spider-Man, he's teamed up with Iron Man and shit like that, I don't think people know how to take him. They don't know what universe to put him in.
Yeah, because, I don't know, probably because he's a different brand of comic book character compared to the Spider-Man or Iron Man.
He's not a superhero. He's a vigilante or whatever. And he's like I said, he's pretty much Batman in the case, whatever. But, you know, with Batman, he wears a costume and shit like that, whatever. And he doesn't use guns. He flies across rooftops beating up people with kung fu and shit. With Punisher, he drives the Camaro and put a bullet to your head and shoots you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's a different brand of superhero. And plus, in today's comic book world or whatever, you can't go too extreme for the simple fact that it's going to be a rated R rating, and for superhero movies today, they're not rated R.
Nope, PG-13.
Yeah, exactly. So, next comment here is from Seth. He says, I'm really surprised Warzone beat the Thomas Jane one, but it's all good. Pretty good show. I'm really looking forward to hearing Dream Warriors episode. That one has to win. And it did.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Hey, man. Hey. It won by a crushing defeat too. If I must say,
300%. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And last comment here is from Cynthia. She says, "This is a really that is a really good point, P1. I don't think filmmakers know how to approach this character, which is why we get these horrible adaptations of him. Nonetheless, this shit called a movie made a great show from you guys, and especially can't wait to hear the Dream Warriors review. I also can't wait to hear you sing that in the review, P1, because I know you will. LOL. Hey, I didn't sing that in the review, not once.
No, you hate that song.
I can't stand it. Don't want to dream no more. We won't. Okay. Just that one time. I did that for Cynthia. But that is a Throwback Tuesday, episode 5 here. I'm the host of Phenomenal One.
This is Z.
And you can catch us next week. Thank you for all the comments, likes, subscribes, and all the views and everything like that. We will continue to keep doing this, even if you bastards don't like it.
Yes, and please be a little gentle on my movie pick next time.
Keep destroying his movie picks, because I love hearing his messages of, oh man, this isn't fair.
But you can catch Throwback Tuesday on moviespoilerspodcast.com. What's it? Moviespoilerspodcast.blogspot? Is that the website?
Yeah, that's the blog, whatever, whenever I feel like posting it up there. Okay. Yeah.
You can also check it out on thefancritic.com on the podcast Throwback Tuesday.
And revisit moviespoilerspodcast.com to cast your votes for the next movies that come up. And it seems like people already got that case because we could tell from the 40% of voting here.
I know, that's fucking... Is that the most votes you've ever had?
Actually, the Avengers was, but... This is, like, second.
Well, we got a good show on our hands.
Yeah, so... Catch you next week, everybody. Later.
Later.